Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities who tell their stories about their business journey and also share helpful insights about the successes that they've had.
Did you know that 2 in 5 Americans want to start a new business or are business owners? Well, we have lots of information to help them too.
And we also talk a little about the intellectual property that helps them flourish.
We are on to another really cool kind of groundbreaking thing that people hadn't really thought of, but we really need. Amon Cassells Aline has Kind Academy Microschools, kindacademy.org, a new way of doing schooling. So welcome, Amon.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are basically now a network of passion-based, project-based, place-based microschools. We are definitely doing school differently. The entire idea is really to kind of like flip what schools are on their head. The idea of what traditional schooling is incredibly outdated. Some of the concepts we talk about is that the jobs that we are still preparing students for will all be gone within 5 to 10 years at this point. So it's really time to start thinking about doing things very differently. And we've been doing this for about 7 to 8 years. So back then it was like laughed at. After COVID, people started going, maybe that makes sense. And now we're really like, everyone else is kind of starting to come into the idea that education has to change.
What is a micro school?
We generally like to say the schools themselves are generally less than 40 students or so, sometimes less than 30. We have schools that go as small as about 5 students. I like to say, especially now, that generally the teacher to student ratio is anywhere from about 1 teacher to 8 students, depending on the age of the students at max. And we feel like that really assists the teachers to build relationships, students to really feel like they're seen and valued. And that really makes the idea of a microschool what it is. So that's the idea of it.
So how far are you in this project?
At this point, we have 42 microschools that utilize our framework and philosophy in our network, and that's been happening over the past 2 years. But over the past 6 years, I've helped hundreds of other microschools launch and scale and grow their microschool vision. I generally get calls at like 3 a.m. of people crying, going, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I need to stop being a teacher in the classroom. Please help. So we've been coaching people for about 6 years now.
That's great.
So are these private schools, are they paid for by the parents, tuition?
It really depends on where they're at. Every school kind of does a different thing, and we really wanted to make it very accessible because we are nationwide now. In Florida, a lot of times the micro schools are paid for by the parent in addition to scholarship funding that comes through the state. In DC, they don't have state funding, so it's generally just paid for by the school scholarship sometimes, but also by the parent. So it really depends on where the family is, where the micro school is. And not necessarily private schools only. We've actually like supported charter schools, micro schools, private schools, private tutoring centers, learning centers. Anything can kind of be a micro school if you do it in this framework that we give.
Do you have corporate donors?
We have regular donors, not necessarily corporate donors, but we generally get actual grants from organizations that really help to support us and in the scaling efforts.
So, John, do you have any questions or comments?
Yeah, I like this. Iman, your comments are absolutely correct. And, you know, that the same issues are in Canada. And then, obviously, in my case, there I failed grade 3 and failed grade 7 3 times. At 13, I left school. A lot of people said to me, does that really bother you that you left school at 13? And I said, yeah, it still does even now. I should have left earlier. So I could comment that I was going to make. ADHD is really not recognized in the schooling system. And in my book, I interacted with a professor on the BC Technology Center University in British Columbia. And we talked about the concept, because when I wrote the book about the teaching system does not work for people that have trauma or the ones ADHD,
yes,
or in a lot of cases are not effective in doing, for all the reasons, 5 years from now, all the jobs that you're doing, the training for, all those issues I like. So the concept that we introduce in the book, but is already being used, is micro certification. Part of teaching is saying that why should you be in a school for 4 years if only 6 months should be designated to the skill set that you want to require and make the other ones add-ons. Now, a lot of times the schools are so preoccupied, things are that simply not relevant, that they make it so immensely difficult, not only if there's people ADHD or trauma, but anyway, micro certification is absolutely the way to go, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Did you have an experience earlier on that propelled you to this?
Yeah. I mean, I did great in school up until high school, and then I dropped out. It just got to the point that it was like, I'm not, you know, I was always gifted. And I was in these classes that I knew were not things. I didn't want to do chemistry. I didn't want to spend a year doing, you know, a biology course that I just knew that I was not going to need. And it was just so redundant to me even then. I was like, it just didn't make sense. So I fell in with the wrong crowd, dropped out, got my GED. Nobody taught me anything about college. Like by then they were like, you're a lost cause. You're not doing anything with your life anyway. I met some other people at a job that I was at, and they were going to a college for art. And I remember asking them, oh, so you can go to classes and do what you like you can learn things you want to learn. And once I learned that, I got a degree in education. I got a degree in school counseling. I did things I was passionate about. And that totally shifted my idea on what education can be. It really should be passion-based. And at this point in our world, if it's not, with the fact that we have AI, we have all of these things that my son at 3 years old, I knew he was not going to, he just was not that kind of kid that could sit in a classroom and didn't want to. And I was like, let's do something different. So we started homeschooling. And even now he's like a major, he codes things that are just like outrageous. I can't do those things. And I'm like, do your math homework. And he's like, Mom, I can code the answers to my math homework at this point. You know, the future's catching up.
Yeah, well, I went to Catholic school when I was young. In fifth grade, I got to go to public school. And it's really tough.
Yes.
To sit through school. It does need to change.
I agree with all the comments that education is not necessarily in a school setting. But I'm saying the best education that I got was after I turned 13 and learned trades, but at the same time started focusing on things that interested me. And so became very good at it, that then made me successful in all the things that I do now.
But the school is designed to teach you what the school is interested in, as opposed to what you're interested in.
Do students get to pick their own subjects? And do they have to be exposed to everything and learn everything? How does it
That's
work?
Such a great question. I think, like, we're all sitting here as entrepreneurs. I think entrepreneurs are the biggest, like, dropouts, the biggest, quote unquote, failures in school. And then we come out and we do these amazing things. And that's really the way it works, because we really think outside the box. In our school, we basically are building entrepreneurs is really the big goal. So in the morning, we do utilize AI tools in addition to certified teachers to guide our students in the regular academic core curriculum. Because of the way that we do it, it can be done versus in 6 hours, we do it in about an hour and a half per day with the small ratios. Super easy, super fast. Our students all perform very well. A lot of them are special needs, which in all reality just meant that they didn't want to sit in the class for 6 hours or they weren't getting what they need. After that, the rest of the day is generally theirs. We do lunch. We have an actual true hour of lunch and recess. And then we have project-based learning where they all work on their own passion projects in the afternoon, sometimes with a guide, sometimes self-directed. We have entrepreneurs. We have coders. We have STEM. We have robotics. We have literally everything, cooking, home ec, anything that the kids basically tell us that this is what they want to do, we find a way to make it happen at the school.
Neil?
I have very extreme ADHD, and they tried to give me drugs when I was a child. And my mom said, no way, you know, and thank God, you know, and she was like, he's just interested in other things. But I have a theory as I've grown older. I think, you know, I would consider myself as like a hunter in a farmer's world, you know, and I think that there are all of us have a genetic composition of what humans were like before 10,000 years ago, which were hunter-gatherers for most of our history, which is ADHD, you know, like hyper-focused, but then not doing the same thing every day, very quickly adapting to changing environments. And then the world became farmers, right? Agriculture. And they're trying to beat this out of you. But I think that some of the most successful entrepreneurs have that, you know, old makeup. ADHD to me equals hunter-gatherer. Maybe I'll write a book on that. A puncher in a farmer's world.
I love it. This has been awesome. We could chat all day. You guys are such a great group. I'm loving this, but we can't because, you know, we're entrepreneurs. We have to go on to the next thing. But Iman, how do people find you?
You can find us on our website, www.kindacademy.org. I also do coaching, consulting, and media as well at imanaline.com, my first name, last name.com. And I have a book that literally is just getting released.
Iman Cassell's Aline. The Passage to Profit Show with Richard Elizabeth Gearhart. Our special guest today, John A. Brink. We've had such lively discussions. If you missed it, you can find the podcast tomorrow. We will be right back.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, and our studio assistant Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.